Wow. These 3GPP documents, TS-123501V17500P.PDF and TS-123502V16000P.PDF, you weren't kidding about a deep dive into 5G specs. I'm ready to unpack this. What's the impact going to be?
It's way beyond just, you know, faster downloads. This changes how networks even work at a basic level.
Okay, so where do we even begin with something like that?
5G. It all starts with the architecture, right? Like the blueprint for how everything talks to each other. AMF, SMF, UPF. That's what we're dealing with here.
Sounds a bit like alphabet soup to me. What are those things actually doing?
So the AMF, that's Access and Mobility Management Function. Think of it like air traffic control, but for your phone. It connects you, moves you around between towers, handles registration.
Okay, so I'm cleared for takeoff. What happens then?
That's where the SMF comes in, the Session Management Function. If AMF's air traffic control, this is your in-flight planner, figures out the route your data takes, what quality it needs, streaming video versus just a text. Totally different.
And the UPF. Is that finally our pilot getting the data where it's got to go?
You got it. User plane function handles those actual data packets, makes sure the cat videos don't buffer, thanks to the SMF's plan.
Right. So air traffic control, flight plan, and our pilot. But this doesn't really explain how the data moves, especially with roaming.
And you're right to bring that up. That's where that diagram you marked, figure 4.2.33, gets really important. It shows us the data flow through these 5G functions and how it changes for roaming versus not.
So non-roaming, my data is just chilling in my home network.
Exactly. AMFs, SMF, UPF, all within your operator's domain. They handle it all.
Makes sense. But when I'm roaming, say I'm on a trip, what then? My data takes a little vacation too.
It does, and that's those roaming architectures come into play. You highlighted figure 4.2.2.2.3-2, which is a home routed scenario. That's key here. Even though you're on a different network, data still goes through your home network's SMF and UPF.
Wait, really? Even if I'm using like a totally different company's network abroad?
It's like having a travel agent back home who always books your flights, even if you're calling from another country. They're your home base. The visited network, the one you're on temporarily, it has its AMF, SMF, UPF, but they're like intermediaries.
Local guides, basically.
Yeah.
They point my data in the right direction, but my home network's still making the calls.
Exactly. That way you keep your home network security, any policies they have, all that, just like sticking with your trusted travel agent.
Man, the stuff we don't even think about to send a text. That's wild.
It is, and we're just getting started. This handover of data between these functions is happening constantly as you move around.
And speaking of handover, That's where we get into some really specific 5G procedures, right? Let's get into it.
Yeah, so you've got these handovers happening all the time, right? Walking through the city, going from one tower's coverage to the next. 5G's got to handle that without you even noticing.
It's like those highway lane changes nobody wants to talk about. But for our data, hope it's smoother than my driving.
Exactly. And these documents, they lay out those steps precisely. N2-based handover, for example.
Okay, there's the technical term alert.
Yeah.
N2, what's that all about?
Basically, it lets your connection jump between different nodes in the 5G system, but keep everything running.
So less like a scary lane change, more like taking a different exit that gets you to the same place faster.
That's a great way to put it. And then there's the connection resume procedure. That's for those moments when you totally lose signal for a second, like in an elevator or going through a tunnel.
Been there, redialing my Zoom call like crazy.
Right. Well, this makes sure as soon as you're back, everything picks up smoothly. No more frantic redialing.
That I can get behind. But with all these procedures, how do they even talk to each other? Seems like things could get mixed up fast.
That's where the signaling messages come in. They're like the language of the network.
And I'm seeing some real mouthful in here. NUDME ACMD registration notification, seriously. And then NSM FPDU session update SM context. What are these?
I know, right? They sound way more intimidating than they actually are. So that first one, the deregistration, basically that's just your phone sending a polite goodbye message when you turn it off or leave the network.
Good network manners, I guess.
Yeah.
What about that second one, though?
That NSM FPDU session update SM context. It's telling the SMF, our flight planner friend, to update things based on new info. Connection quality changes, or you switch from Wi-Fi to cellular, things like that.
Quick text to the travel agent. Hey, plans changed. Gotta adjust.
Exactly. And these messages, as crazy as their names sound, they're going back and forth constantly, all to make sure your 5G experience is, you know, actually good.
It's kind of mind-blowing how much is happening that we just totally take for granted.
Totally. And we haven't even gotten to the really cool stuff. 5G is not just about these connections. It's about what it lets us do. Network slicing, for example.
Okay, so network slicing. Everyone's saying it's a big deal, but what is it even? You marked SNS SSAIs
yeah.
in the documents. Yeah. That a mouthful.
Right, like something out of a sci-fi movie. It's slice specific network, slice access identifiers. Bear with me. They're actually the key to this whole thing.
Okay, so those are the keys. But what's the door they're unlocking? What does network slicing actually do?
Imagine taking a network, a physical one, and splitting it up virtually. Multiple networks, each one fine-tuned for a specific job. That's slicing.
Instead of one network trying to be all things to all people, kind of like those multi-lane highways, each lane's got its purpose.
Perfect analogy. You could have a slice that's all about low latency, gaming, self-driving cars where even a millisecond matters. Then another slice that's built for massive IoT, handling tons of sensors, no problem.
And another one that's what, like, ultra reliable for when you absolutely cannot drop the connection.
Exactly. Remote surgery, controlling critical infrastructure, yeah. Those need that guarantee.
So the implications of that are huge. This isn't just like my Netflix loading fast.
Yeah.
This is next level stuff.
Right. Think about it. A surgeon in, say, New York operating on a patient in London real time. Or factories where robots are coordinating perfectly because the network slice is built for that.
We're almost thinking of the network as less like a utility and more like a platform for totally new stuff to happen.
And that's just network slicing. We've also got time-sensitive communications, TSC, that these documents mention.
Okay, more jargon. Isn't 5G already pretty darn fast? What's so time-sensitive?
Speed is one thing, but TSC is about guaranteeing it's instant and reliable. Microseconds matter here. Think industrial automation again, or even like really immersive VR, where your movements have to match the virtual world perfectly.
So it's not just how much data, but exactly when it arrives. How do they even make sure of that?
That's our QoS flow management. It's like traffic control, but inside the network itself. Critical stuff gets priority, even when the network's super busy.
So my video call won't die just because someone else starts a huge download, hopefully.
That's the idea. Network operators can prioritize traffic, make sure those key applications just work.
Which, you know, increasingly important as we rely on this stuff for basically everything. But speaking of relying on it, all this speed, features, what about security? Seems like a big target.
You're right to ask that, absolutely. And the documents address it directly. 5G's got a whole bunch of security built in at every level.
Okay, so what are we talking here? Give me the rundown.
We've got encryption, making the data unreadable without the keys. Authentication, proving you are who you say you are. Key management, keeping those keys safe. Remember EAP procedures.
Yeah, I was wondering about that one.
Okay.
How does it fit in?
So EAP, that's Extensible Authentication Protocol. It's the secure handshake between your device and the network, proves you're allowed in.
Digital bouncer at the club, checking IDs. Love it.
Yeah.
But we're not in a 5G-only world just yet.
Right, and that's why they talk about interworking with older systems like EPS, the Evolved Packet Core. That's a lot of 4G still.
So even if I'm not on full 5G, my phone can still connect seamlessly.
Exactly. It's about making sure that no matter where you are, what network you're on, you've got that smooth online experience.
Wow. That was a journey. From the building blocks of 5G all the way to what it lets us do. It's almost like 5G isn't just an upgrade. It's a total rethink. It's not about speed for speed's sake. It's about making the network as adaptable, as capable as the things we want to do with it. Not just faster downloads, but a whole new set of possibilities. And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into the amazing world of 5G. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, keep exploring.